should be finished with chapter 6, either this Sunday or next Sunday, I would think. Let's begin at verse 11, 6:11, and read through the end of the chapter. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers, which means imitators, of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Patiently endured, he obtained the promise. For men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife, wherein God, willing more abundantly, to show unto the heirs of promise, who are the heirs of promise, the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. That by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have who are the heirs of promise, that we might have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. We'll talk about Melchizedek when we get into chapter 7. But for now, through faith and patience, we inherit the promises. Paul wrote to Timothy, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience. Revelation 13:10, he that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with a sword must be killed with a sword. Here is the patience and faith of the saints. Boy, that's right in the middle of the book of Revelation. Revelation 14:12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. 2 Thessalonians 1:4, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith. We're getting the idea that patience and faith are necessary ingredients in our Christian walk and overcoming. For your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. 1 Timothy 6:11, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Titus 2:2, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. In Hebrews chapter 11, we read the word faith 24 times. And Hebrews chapter 12 begins, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Faith, patience. James 1:3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, you notice there it doesn't say that faith worketh patience, but the trying of your faith worketh patience. Or tribulation worketh patience, the Bible says. And you've heard me tell it about the lady that came forward and asked the pastor to pray for her that she would have more patience. So the pastor, in front of the congregation, laid his hands on her head and said, Lord, send this lady trouble. Send her tribulation. Oh, God, send her some bigger trials. She stopped him in the middle of his prayer. Stop! I didn't ask for trouble. I didn't ask for tribulation. I asked for patience. And the preacher said, tribulation worketh patience. If you want patience, you have to suffer tribulation. Here is the faith and patience of the saints. We want patience, but we don't want to pay the price for it. We want faith, but we don't want to trust and believe God like he wants us to. Now we want to pray, but we don't want to be specific in our prayers because it's time consuming. You know, who wants to get down on their knees and express to God the details and pray specifically? That takes time. That's what God wants, and that's why a lot of prayers aren't answered. Oh Lord, you know, we get in our prayer closet, bless all the missionaries, and bless all the sick, and bless all the needy, and bless me, amen. And then you get up and go around bragging, I pray for every missionary, amen. And I pray for all the sinners in the world, and I pray for all the sick. Well, you must have spent all day in prayer. Are you timing? Lord, bless all the missionaries. Lord, bless all the sick and needy. Lord, bless all the sick. Bless me, Lord. That took 7 seconds. 7 seconds. Are we 7 second prayer warriors? Oh, my. If we're going to have patience, we're going to have to suffer some tribulation because tribulation worketh patience. And so, you've heard me say it here. I said it recently. You can't defeat a genuine Christian that has faith in God. Because when a genuine Christian faces a trial, a mountainous trial, he looks at it and he says, acres of diamonds, mountains of gold. The trying of your faith is more precious than gold, the Bible says. And we should not be looking for an escape from that. We should be saying, Jesus, you trust me with that trial, don't you? Praise the Lord. Look at all that gold you're giving me. And you start rejoicing instead of, you know, oh my, we need to be winners. We need to be winners. Let me tell you something. If the devil puts you into a deep depression, and I don't like the word depression, but they use it today, and it's a legitimate word, you know. But we're not depressed. I rebuke that. In Jesus' name, I rebuke that. You know, you start feeling sorry for yourself. You know what you need to do? You need to go to an insane asylum somewhere and walk. When you start feeling sorry for yourself, you need to go to a critical care unit and sit there in the waiting room and watch the wringing of hands and the twitching and the tears and the talk and even the chain smoking and things like that. Need to go there and see it, and then count your blessings instead of your troubles, because your troubles will probably be pretty small in comparison to theirs, right? Oh, praise the Lord. And another thing, you have to know when you go into a trial that everything's going to turn out all right, because you got the promise of God. You've already got his promise that you're going to win. Hallelujah. Okay, so he says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Romans 5:3. We glory in tribulations. Oh, you thought I was out of my tree, as they say? No, Paul said in Romans 5:3, we glory in tribulations. Well, that was for Paul. Paul said we glory in tribulations. Knowing that tribulation worketh patience. I've said this over and over. When you don't feel something, you better know something. When you don't feel something going through your trial or your trouble or your persecution, you better know something. And here it is. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Let patience have a perfect work. Praise the Lord. 1 Peter 1:7, the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love and rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Listen, let me tell you what to do. You have a little squabble with your wife. A little confrontation with your children or the neighbor or something. Here's the steps to take. Honey, I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Yeah, I'll forgive you. And the feeling is still there, you know. Let me tell you what to do. You don't have to go outside and count to 10. Just go outside and look up one soul. Start witnessing. You'll start feeling so good. You'll come back and grab your wife. She might even resist you. She's already forgiven you. She might even resist you a little. But, you know, you're out there, you've been witnessing, you're so full of the Holy Ghost that you become irresistible. You know, really. Praise the Lord. I'll tell you, I have dealt with so many people and so many people's problems and needs, and I have found the answer to every one of them in the Holy Bible.
Amen.
In the Holy Bible.
Praise the Lord.
Sometimes it's good for a husband and wife when they start getting greedy or needy, you know, as they say, and I want some more, I want some more. Couldn't you buy me this? Couldn't you get me that? Couldn't we go over here? Isn't it time for us to take a vacation? And the man being the head of the house, he might just say to his wife, come with me. We'll take a little trip. And then go to the hospital and go visit a few people. I'll tell you, it'll do wonders for yourself, for your wife, for your children. Like I say, go to the county home. Go to the colony. Go to the psychiatric ward up in Luther and the Sacred Heart Hospital. See some things. Help some people. Bless some people. Boy, does that work wonders in your own spirit, in your own life. Praise the Lord. But we need faith and we need patience. Here's what faith is. Unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. Isn't that good? Oh, Webster came up with that. Bless his heart. Unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. Boy, if they find Noah's Ark, I think I'm going to believe. If they find Noah's Ark, I'm going to become a Christian. Or if they find Noah's Ark, I'm going to make a decision. The Bible must be true. See, I've already made that decision, and they can find Noah's Ark, and they cannot find Noah's Ark, and it won't alter my faith one bit. It won't build it up. All the archaeological findings and discoveries won't build up my faith one bit. Honest! I already believe it.
Praise the Lord.
And faith is unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. Now that's the kind of faith God wants us to have. How many believe that?
Amen.
I mean, whether we have it or not, that's what God wants us to have. He wants us to believe Him. Somebody said, oh, faith is a plunge into darkness. You know, that's what the world would teach us. Faith is just a plunge or a leap into darkness, and you know, you don't have any proof, you don't have any evidence, so you're crazy. Leaping into darkness like that. Leaping off of a cliff into nowhere. No, no. Faith is not a leap into darkness. Faith is a leap into the light.
Yeah.
It really is. Amen. Through faith we understand. If people would only have faith, suddenly they would understand.
Amen.
They would understand creation.
Yeah.
And they would settle the issue, creation versus evolution. Now, they can talk about evolution and proof and evidence all they want. Faith doesn't require that. Do you know God or don't you know God? Do you believe God or don't you believe God? If you know God and believe God, these issues are settled. No matter what the educators say, no matter what the experts say, no matter what the evolutionists say, no matter what the geologists say. And you know, they have diminished their figures from some of them. And remember this, the Bible is in harmony with itself. No contradictions in the scripture. But it's amazing the multitude of contradictions that the evolutionists have among themselves.
Right?
Huh. They are at odds with one another. They can't get their act together at all.
Right.
And now some of them are saying, well, you know, the earth is 10,000 years old. Just anything over 6,000 to irritate us, you know. They don't irritate me, you know, but they sure try, don't they? When they come up with these things, we just smile, you know. Yeah. You know, if they don't know what we're thinking, boy, we feel sorry for you. We feel sorry for you. You've come from billions or millions of years down to 10,000. Keep coming, you know, one of these days. And if they came up with 6,000 years, that wouldn't save me.
Right.
That wouldn't save me. So, you think I'm going to waste my time studying their trash? Do you think I'm going to waste my time trying to work up arguments against them when I already know? And faith is some evidence is something you can give somebody, but faith isn't something you can give somebody. You can give an example of faith, and then, like the Bible says, be imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. But anyway, I like this. Faith is unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. Or proof of evidence. Proof or evidence, I think I should say. Patience. The will or ability to wait or endure without complaining. Patience. The will or ability to wait or endure without complaining. Do you think when Abraham was waiting for Isaac, waiting for the fulfillment, he was going around complaining?
No.
He had faith and he had patience. He believed God's word and he patiently waited without complaining. Well, where's that son you're talking about, Abraham? He's on the way. Years go by. Where's that son you're talking about, Abraham? He's on the way. I don't know how many years somebody said Sarah was rocking an empty blanket, an empty cradle. It's coming, it's coming. Faith and patience, inheriting the promises. Praise the Lord. I said it last night at the prayer meeting. You know, Jesus did credit people for being able to discern the signs of the sky. He said, when the sky is one way, you say, foul weather is coming. And he said, when the sky is red and lowering, he said, you say, there will be good weather. And he said, you're right. You're right. You can discern the signs of the sky, you hypocrites. But you can't discern the signs of my coming. I was talking to a man at Kerms the other day. You know, the sun was shining for a while yesterday, and the ground was clear of this white miracle, and it was a nice day for a while yesterday. And one man in another cashier line, George, hollered over at me, and he said, hi, John. He said, we're old friends from work years ago. He was a salesman. He said, it's going to snow. I looked up, and, man, it's not going to snow. Sunshine, look at the ground, it's nice out. Warm, what was it, 40 yesterday? And he said, it's going to snow. I said, how do you know? He said, well, that's what the weather forecaster said. And I thought to myself, do you believe the weather forecast? And I woke up this morning, and lo and behold, the weather forecaster was right. You know, it snowed. But I thought to myself on the way home from Kerms, you know, he said it's going to snow because, and even though it doesn't look like it, because the weatherman said it's going to snow. And I said, but the Bible says that he's going to come. Jesus is going to come. He doesn't believe that. Everything looks the same outside, and they look around and they say, no, no. All things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. No, no, you know, yeah. Oh, listen, he's coming. He's coming. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Well, anyway, that little experience that I created for myself, I really enjoy it. Do you ever entertain yourself? I do it all the time. I'm not a lonely person. Praise the Lord. Don't you love Him? Hallelujah. We have Him and we have His book, and how can we be lonely? We sing a song, I'll never be lonely again. I'll never be lonely again since I met Jesus. Praise the Lord. People that are lonely are without Christ. And we need to help lonely people by introducing them to Christ. Amen. Patience, the will or ability to wait or endure without complaint. He is coming. Faith, unquestioning belief that does not require proof or evidence. I like that. Praise the Lord. Okay, when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, verse 13 says, he swore by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. Now, when you read in Genesis chapter 12, you read about the promise of God to Abraham. Genesis chapter 12, now the Lord had said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in you, Abraham, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. And at this time, 1921 B.C., according to at least chronology I went by, Abraham was childless. There was no child. Then you turn to Genesis 21, verses 1 through 3, and the Lord visited Sarah as he had said. When I read that, I think, yeah. And Jesus came the second time, as he had said, it's going to happen.
Amen.
No matter how long we wait.
Amen.
And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken. But oh, they had to endure years with patience and faith. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God had spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. And that was in 1897 B.C. So that's 20-some years later, 24 years later. Then God tested Abraham in Genesis chapter 22. He made a promise, and approximately 24 years later, the promise was fulfilled, and then he took that promise, or he told Abraham to take that promised child and offer him a sacrifice unto God. Listen to it. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, or test Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, behold, here I am. And he said, take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. What went through Abraham's mind when God promised him in 1921 B.C. a child, and then in 1897 B.C. the child was born, and then he tells him to take the child and offer him up to God as a burnt offering? Abraham didn't bat an eye. The Bible says he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. He said, okay, God, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. But I know one thing. You promised me that you promised me that through that boy that you're asking me to kill, I will have much seed through him. So, if you're asking me to kill him, what you're telling me is you're going to raise him from the dead. So let's go. He made the trip. He pulled the knife. Like we say, the brawny arm of an angel grabbed him and stopped him. Man, over in the thicket was a ram. God says, I tried you, Abraham. I found you faithful. I found you faithful. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. What's the kind of faith we have? The Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God literally, actually, honestly raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's saving faith today. Praise the Lord. And that's the kind of faith we need, I think, in Pentecost today, because too many tongue talkers, too many people that have come to an altar and have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and have spoken in other tongues, not understanding faith and patience, have backslidden. And there's no excuse for it.
Amen.
We have got to be solid and sound and definite in our faith. And that's why I teach that so purposely and strongly in this church, We need faith. That's why I insist on those scriptures that are overlooked by so many. Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart, that doesn't mean that you get up in a Billy Graham campaign and you walk forward and raise your hand and say, yeah, I do, I give a mental assent to it. No, it says if you believe in your heart, down deep in your heart, that a dead man came forth from the grave and he lives today. That is saving faith. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah.
You know, I buried a man that was hearty, healthy, strong, 86 years old. You know, you get the idea, this man's never going to die. Of course, I know better. But you live with it, you see it year after year, and it's just an amazing thing. And I buried him. I had his funeral. I officiated. I preached him. Faribault, Minnesota, just a week or so ago. March 14th. And when I went to that funeral, I didn't expect him to come out of that coffin. I didn't expect it. You know? And we sing the song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. And sometimes we think, because we live, we can face tomorrow. We get it wrong. We got it wrong. It doesn't depend on my life or my death. My eternal salvation depends not on whether I live or die, but on whether he's alive or not. He's alive. So if you die, or I die, or we all die, it doesn't weaken the plan of salvation at all. It remains stable, permanent, eternal. And that's what we're going to talk about, and time's running out, in this, the remainder of this sixth chapter of Hebrews. Our salvation is secure. And it's not because we live, it's because he lives that we can face tomorrow. Praise the Lord. Shall we stand? Oh, Lord Jesus, I love you. I love you. And I thank you, Lord God, for your word, for your promise, Lord, even for your oath. The Lord has sworn and will not repent, nor the priest forever after the order of the Melchizedek. Oh, God, grant unto us, Lord, that faith and patience, Lord, that we need so desperately in this dying hour, in which all of our minds are here to try. Oh, Lord God, Lord, there is such an attack against the faith of Christianity today. But oh, Lord, may not just be a faith of America. Oh, God, that we believe that we are God, who we believe created all things. Lord, we believe that you have given us faith. And we say, you say, faith that not of yourself, but the gift of God, that would be the name of the Lord. Lord Jesus, we have today because of God, you have given us faith.
yes, Lord, fill us all with the Holy Ghost and with faith, patience, Lord. Hallelujah, that we would run this race with patience. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Bless this day, bless this people, Lord God. Oh, let faith grip our hearts, Lord. And may we build ourselves up in our most holy faith, coming to that altar and praying in the Holy Ghost till we are filled with overflowing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah,
Lord God.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yea, my people, I say unto thee, my promises are sure. Yea, they are steadfast, even unto the end. Yea, even unto the end of the world, my people. Yea, I am with thee, even as I was with Abraham. Yea, and he who clung to the promise that was made unto him. Yea, taking his own son Isaac, even his faith was to the end.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen.